The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen. Ray on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our program. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster program for this Tuesday, October the 9th, 2018. Very full hour as usual. We are coming to you live from Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Have our worldwide live listening, which pretty much makes this program available anywhere in the world. If you've got a computer, we're at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our programs are archived. You've got the podcast. Usually we have that available for you about an hour or two at the conclusion of the program. Our live line number 790-2040. Today we resume our monthly interview series, actually bi-monthly interview series. Every other month we talk about Pima Community College. This series introduces our listeners to the very talented and dedicated educators at Pima Community College. Today we hear from Ellen Curtin. Ellen is the Director of Small Business Development. That center is housed at Pima Community College. Ellen and her team guide local businesses at no cost on how to thrive financially with a solid foundation for ongoing sustainability. In 2017 alone, 323 jobs were created with over $9,000 in access to capital for her small business clients. And then this year, her and her team have been creating a lot more revenue, over $25 million in increased revenue for 250 local businesses that they work with. Ellen is with us now on the live line. Ellen, how are you?
I'm great. I'm actually calling from Fort Worth and enjoying some rain.
I hope that rain is, we may be getting a little of that here in a couple of days. Talk a little bit about what the center does and specifically how you can help our veterans in the community.
Okay, so the SBC, Small Business Development Center, primarily, and I was so glad that you said no-cost one-on-one counseling, because we're actually funded by the SBA and by Pima College for us to help small business. And members of our team are all experienced business owners, have worked in business, owned businesses. My background is 35 years of banking. I was a senior vice president at Chase and ran business banking and also have my own company. So we really give practical advice to business owners all the way from start. We say we help companies start, launch, and sustain. And the reason I say that is 8 out of 10 businesses will fail. But with the help from the SBDC, if we get them started right and work with them, we don't just help right at the beginning. We continue. I have clients I've worked with over 5 years through every stage. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, what kind of, is this a wide variety of businesses that you've been helping?
Absolutely. Everything from retail to construction, manufacturing, the whole gamut. And you had mentioned veterans, and veterans are very important to us. And, you know, as you may know, the college also has a veterans area, and we work closely together. So each year we put on a veterans conference, which will be next Friday, October 19th, and it's from 10 to 3. This event is sponsored by Raytheon and TEP, and with that, there's no cost for anyone to attend. So what we have is the mayor kicks it off. We will have the chancellor, who is a veteran himself, will be speaking. And then we have a keynote speaker who is a veteran who owns multiple businesses. And so the fun part is after lunch, I love to get people coming back, we're going to have Jeopardy military style. So that will be very engaging. We also have, we'll have anywhere from 30 to 35 exhibitors who are all people who support veterans. It could be community services, it could be businesses, it could be organizations. So they come and they get a full palette of good advice from the speaking, and then have access to resources. So it's really a rich day. My intention from the beginning of this event, which this is our ninth year, is to inform and inspire.
And this is a free event to veterans, is that correct?
Correct.
And it gets...
So this might be anyone who wants to start a business, is in business, supports veteran-owned businesses, the whole gamut.
We really do need to do more for our veterans to get them into the workforce. What are some of the particular challenges, Ellen Curtin, that they run up against, and how can you help these people?
So in a lot of cases, so we have veteran business owners, and then we have veterans who work for these companies. And a lot of it has to do with being able to translate military speak to civilian speak. And the college is proud to have recently had a situation with the Metropolitan Chamber, where in collaboration, they are going to be the first in the country to introduce a website where a veteran who's looking for a job can put in his military ease, if you will, and it will convert it to civilian speak. Because what happens oftentimes is they don't know how to say, they have a code that they use. But if they say they work on engines, which is a big part here with Davis-Monthan, they work on engines, it doesn't translate that way. And so a potential employer doesn't know that. And so this will help convert the language so they can see this is a skilled employee I would like to have. So you might look at bombardier, you might look at sergeant controls, so that these are transferable skills. From a business owner standpoint, there's a lot of support because people would like to support veteran-owned businesses. So I'm involved, and Karen Burns on my team, we go out to Davis-Monthan four times a year. We teach Boots to Business. That's a two-day boot camp for the military who are going to be leaving who want to start businesses, because it's really all new to them. And I'm proud to say I was the National Boots to Business Instructor of the Year and received my award from Linda McMahon, who's the SBA Administrator. So we are very well known and received as a veteran support SBDC and the college.
Will there actually be, you mentioned Raytheon and TEP, will there be some other possible employers that be looking for people at this event on Friday the 19th?
Well, there are other, some of them are agencies, and for instance, so if you take a look at Pima County One Stop, I don't know if you're aware, but they actually have a veteran center, mm-hmm. and they represent it, and they can help matchmake.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And we're also going to have an event coming up, it's first of its kind, on October 23rd, where veterans who are looking for a job can apply online, and then employers who are looking for that, they can matchmake, and on the 23rd meet and actually go through an interview.
You talked about your own background. You said, 35 years? Is that what you said with Chase Bank?
Right, and I was only 15.
Oh, okay. 15 years with Chase.
15 years old when I did my 35 years.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay, I got you there. What brought you to Tucson? How did that all happen?
I lived in California, and I was, in the banking industry there, and traffic got me. I lived in Irvine, and I worked in Newport Beach. 12 miles took me an hour and 15 minutes on a good day. So one day I just said, I went to Tucson, I helped a friend, I do some design work, and I helped a friend who was building a new home. And I said, this is where I want to be. It was such an immediate love, just the first trip out there. And so that was 20 years ago.
Now, for the event on the 19th, is pre-registration needed for that 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. event at Pima Community College West Campus?
Yes, yes. But I'm going to give you my assistant's email, and they can email her, and she'll be glad to help them with the registration.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, so it's A. Martinez, all together, no dots. So A. Martinez, 276 at pima.edu. The phone number is 206-6355. And her name is Shelley.
Okay. And for people that might have been driving and didn't get a chance to get that, they can probably get that information through the Pima Community College website, correct?
Correct.
And that is pima.edu.
Edu, correct.
All right. Ellen Curtin, thank you very much. Again, that event, the annual 9th, I believe you said, 9th Annual Veterans Conference, Friday, October the 19th, and that will be at the Center for the Arts, the West Campus, Pima Community College, 2202 West Anklin Road. Ellen, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on.
All right. Ellen Curtin with Pima Community College. It's time for lunch. How about a sandwich up at Mona's? Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. I had a great sandwich there Sunday, actually. Their turkey, hot turkey sandwich was very, very nice. On that wonderful bread, there's a wide variety of choices. Mine happened to be kind of what they call a rustic bread, and it was delicious. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and a link to all of our great sponsors. And we'll be back in a moment with Shelley Fishman. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up during the noon hour on Wednesday, we'll have our travel talk segment with Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel. Also, Rodney Glassman, Republican candidate for the Arizona Corporation Commission. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, I'm going to consult right now with Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Shelley, how are you?
I'm well today, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. We've been getting some real positive news, I guess, when it comes to jobs in this country. In fact, the number is the best since I graduated from my undergraduate days in college.
Wow.
1969.
Right. So the numbers that were released on Friday showed less than anticipated numbers of new jobs, down at around, and I'm going to round the numbers here, 130,000, where they were expecting about 180,000. But the prior 2 months were revised upward. What was interesting was the unemployment number that clicked down two clicks from 3.8 to 3.6%. And we have not had a formalized unemployment number of 3.6% since the days of the deep days of the Vietnam War back in 1969. So that's the good news. And then my clients ask, well, I don't understand. How come the number of jobs that are being filled every month has been essentially lower in the past 2 years than it has been in the run-up the past 6 or 7 years, but the unemployment number keeps on going down.
Mm-hmm.
So how can those two facts live in the same universe?
How can they?
Well, you have to think about what's happening to the population of the United States. So it takes, with our current population, it takes about 180,000 to 200,000 new jobs a month to meet our growth needs in the economy, where that growth is approximately 2% to 2.5% a year. Now, what's the churn? What's going on in that number? Right now, since 2010, we've had the baby boomers retiring, and so the number of people leaving the job market has been increasing from its steady state value that we saw for decades, and the number of new people coming into the job market, because our population has not been increasing as by the same amounts that we've seen in the past. So new people entering the job market has been lower. As a result, what we see is that the number of people who are looking for new jobs has come down as a percentage because there are so many more jobs to fill. And so that helps the unemployment number, because we see of the available number, the people who are looking for jobs, the unemployment number is about 3.6. Only 3.6% of those people, for whatever reason, can seem to find a job that they're willing to take.
But now, do we have like what would be considered full employment?
We have full employment down at this number It's just differently made up from the way it's been in the past. The number is a survey. First of all, we have to realize that this is a number that's a survey. It's not an exact number. But it means if you're holding two part-time jobs mm-hmm. and you're no longer looking for work because you've got two part-time jobs, you're not unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing to consider is the people who are leaving the job market right now are theoretically people who are at their highest level of earnings potential or earnings, and they're essentially leaving the market and retiring. The people coming in are people who are at their lowest, their entry level.
Right.
So what happens is the average wage is held down by the fact that the people coming into the market are coming in at lower wages than the people who are leaving. Now, what does that all mean for corporations? So at 3.6%, Bill, if you are a corporation looking to fill a job, you've got to compete to find somebody to fill that job. That should be making the wages at the lowest levels of wage earners go up higher than, say, people in the middle. And indeed, that's what we're seeing. What we're seeing is people at entry-level positions are, in fact, moving upward in their wages faster than we've seen in the past. It's still not a very good number. It's still just above the rate of inflation. It's somewhere below 3% with inflation running at around 2.25%. But the perceptions in the marketplace are that the middle class is just not surviving this, because what we're seeing is the jobs in the middle, companies are still getting more productivity out of their workers. They're not reinvesting the capital that came in with the tax cuts, and also the capital that they simply had sitting on the sidelines for a decade. They're not reinvesting that in new plant and new capital investments,
or in the wages they're paying their
employees. Or in the wages,
those are not going. Those wages are not going up.
Well, they're not going up because there's not a lot of churn in that middle part of the wage earning marketplace. The churn's at the bottom and at the top. So what you're seeing is stability. That's a good thing. But not a perception that people are getting ahead and those who are entering the middle class are having an easy time of getting there. The good news from an investor's perspective is that corporate profits are high because the amount of money churning in the economy is still pretty good, enough to support high levels of consumption. And again, this is a consuming economy. So consumption is stayed pretty high. With inflation going up, if wages don't keep pace with inflation, and with the artificial bumps we're seeing in prices for things that, for instance, are now going to have tariffs assigned to them, what we might see is a hit on consumption. And if that happens, then you'll see a hit on corporate profits. But for right now, the outlook on a quarter-by-quarter basis continues to be good, with nobody forecasting anything dire or negative happening in the economy, at least not till the end of 2019.
Are we facing a labor shortage then in this country?
We will be. We're not right now. Mm-hmm. We're not facing a labor shortage, but what I expect to see is we'll begin to see concentrated in certain industries, labor shortages, as those industries where the kinds of skills that had been required are leaving because the baby boomers are retiring, and there are not the millennials trained sufficiently to move into those jobs. So unless we see some real concentrated labor training efforts. And we're, by the way, we are beginning to see that in the largest corporations. We're seeing wage increases. I mean, we've seen, you know, very large companies now, Amazon, for instance, going with a $15 an hour minimum wage. But it's not just the minimum wage. Along with that, they're training hundreds of thousands of people a year to order to meet the needs that you articulated, which is to have a certain set of skills that are required. They're also concerned, as again, as baby boomers move out of upper middle level management positions, middle managers move into those positions, they need those skill levels from what were entry level and just above entry level positions to be able and skilled to move into those management jobs. And that's what they're training. I mean, when I grew up in the corporate world, corporate training was huge. It was the thing that was just so important, at least in my career. Not just the academic
training.
And
then training, that kind of went away.
And then that kind of went away, and now it's coming back. So we'll see large corporations, the Walmarts, the Amazons, doing more to maintain the loyalty of their workforce by keeping them trained in the specific skills they need.
All right. Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. You can find out more about Shelley on my website, buckmastershow.com.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
The Buckmaster Show, one of our fine sponsors, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Why not visit Silver City and the starting place, the natural starting place, their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. There you find a complete listing of great places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Check out Green Things, greenthingsaz.com, and that's a great starting place when you make your journey over to Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Now through November 15th, daily 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., check out Zocalo Village. Tour the five new shops there at Zocalo Village and finish your visit to the gallery and stay for some complimentary wine. That's all happening on the 13-acre site at Green Things. Well, coming up, the general election, of course, ballots will be sent out within a few days. And today we're going to be focusing on the Democratic candidate in the race for Superintendent of Public Instruction. The Republican is Frank Riggs. The Democrat is Kathy Hoffman, who is with us now on the live line. Kathy, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing real well. You are an educator, and you decided to get into politics. Tell us a little bit about what was the issue that really put your, as they say, making you throw your hat in the ring.
Yeah, for me, the tipping point was watching the confirmation hearing of Betsy DeVos. At that point, I had a very successful career working in our public schools as a speech therapist. And when I watched that, I felt, like many people, sick to my stomach and absolutely appalled that someone with no classroom experience who couldn't even answer the most basic question about education policy mm-hmm. was elected to lead our public schools for the country. And I saw a lot of parallels, and that's what really opened my eyes and made me realize that our elected officials here in Arizona were also producing education policy without having any real understanding of how those policies were impacting us in the classroom.
Tell us a bit about your background as an educator.
Yeah, I actually started my teaching career in Tucson. I first worked in a preschool there and then went back to school to the University of Arizona to get my master's degree. That's where I met my husband. We're both Wildcats. And then I worked for the Vail School District for 3 years. And it's actually my husband's fault that we moved to Phoenix. He was accepted into medical school up here at Midwestern University. And so that's what brought us up to Phoenix. And then I worked for the Peoria School District for a couple years. And I did resign that position at the end of the last school year to focus on winning my campaign.
On your website, you talk about something called the Hoffman difference, about what makes your platform unique. What are those five items? Share those with our listeners.
I don't know if I can recall all five off the top.
I've got it in front of me. Improving graduation rates of bilingual students, that's at the top of the list.
Yes. Then you've got, I can expand on, do you want me to expand on that?
Well, yeah, and if, yeah. Go ahead, briefly.
Well, bilingualism is a very important topic to me and doing having reforms for our English language learning students, because I personally grew up attending a Japanese immersion program and then went on to learn Spanish. So I speak both Japanese and Spanish and personally know all the professional benefits to being bilingual, and there's many cognitive advantages as well, as all the research points to. Yet here in Arizona, even though we're a border state and have a high population of bilingual students, we have the lowest high school graduation rate of English learning students in the country, and that's abysmally low.
You also talk about paid maternity and mm-hmm. paternity leave for teachers. You say you mm-hmm. support our support for students and families in the LGBTQ community, competitive pay for support staff, and improved access to mental health and special education services. Can we afford those things, Kathy Hoffman?
Probably not all at once. Those are a lot of long-term goals. The issue of paid maternity and paternity leave is, it's a national issue. It's not just a teacher issue, but the way I see it is that the education field should be family-centric and parent-centric, children-centric. And as it is right now, with no paid leave for maternity leave, when teaching is also known to be one of the worst-paying jobs for our college-educated professionals, having paid maternity or paternity leave would make it affordable for people to start a family without having severe economic hardships during that maternity or paternity leave.
What separates you? What would you say the issue that separates you most from your opponent, Frank Riggs?
The most clear distinction is that he is a longtime career politician. He was a congressman in California for numerous terms, and he was voted out, and then he has also been working to expand the charter school industry and touts himself as one of the fathers of charter schools, whereas I've been working my entire professional career in Arizona's public schools. I've been an educator. I've been in the classroom. I think that's the most important type of experience that is needed for this position, and that's what's been missing. We've had career politician after politician leading our public schools, and look where we're at. We're absolutely, we've hit rock bottom, and I think we desperately need a teacher's voice to elevate the voices of our public schools and public education.
What did you think of the Red for Ed movement, Kathy?
I have been a strong supporter. My view of Red for Ed, and this is coming straight from, I was in the classroom when Red for Ed happened this past school year, and it was built because Red for Ed rose up because of the frustration of our teachers and our parents after years and years of inaction by our legislature to fully fund public education. And after hearing 2 years in a row that the only proposal for teacher pay increase was 1%, 2 years in a row, was insulting to teachers who, I mean, that's below the rate of inflation. As you know, our teachers can move to any neighboring state and make easily over $10,000 more. And so we're losing a lot of our high-quality teachers to other states and also to the private sector. I know one thing I just heard you talking about was how Amazon is increasing their minimum wage to $15 an hour. And so this is also an issue that's affecting our schools, because we also need to be hiring bus drivers and paraprofessionals and office staff who right now are making the minimum wage, $10.50, in our schools. And so now we're also at risk to lose even more of our school staff to the private sector.
As superintendent of public instruction, you would oversee also our charter schools. How do you feel generally about the charter schools?
Generally, I feel, I think that charter schools are also doing a great job of meeting the needs. Many of our students do have unique needs, and I think that the charter schools do meet the demand of many of our families in Arizona. The issues I do see, there are reforms needed. We have seen, especially in recent news, that there have been several issues or occurrences of corruption of legislators who are passing policies that benefit charter schools, and that we have a couple legislators who've been able to profit millions of dollars at the same time that their teachers are making below average wages. And so that's where I see need for reform. I strongly support having more transparency and accountability of our charter schools, because they are receiving our taxpayer dollars. And so there are reforms needed, yet at the end of the day, I'm all about supporting our public schools, and that does include our charter schools.
Anything you want to say about school vouchers, and that will be on the ballot?
Yes, I have always consistently opposed the expansion of vouchers, Prop 305, and the reason is because the vouchers are a Band-Aid solution, like so many of our school funding issues. We need to get serious about fully funding our public schools, because having a good, high-quality school in your local neighborhood is the best option for families. We know that private schools are not available, whether it's because of transportation or where they're located. Many private schools don't offer any special education services or any free and reduced lunches. And so we need to prioritize making sure that our public schools are fully funded. and creating a voucher system is threatening to further deplete our public school resources.
All right, Kathy Hoffman, where can our listeners get more about you, information about you?
I would love to hear from your listeners. My website is electkathyhoffman.com, and I spell Kathy with a K. And I'm on all the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and can be reached through any of those mediums.
Kathy, thank you very much for sharing some of your thoughts with us. I appreciate it very much, Kathy.
I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Kathy Hoffman, Democrat, Superintendent of Public Instruction. This portion of the program presented by Mona's Danish Bakery. Now is the time to start thinking about Thanksgiving. And my goodness, those dinner rolls, we've had them at our table, and they're always great at Thanksgiving. And Mona's does such a great job with, of course, the traditional pumpkin pie. But maybe cherry would be a nice choice. Steve, the owner and chief baker, will make sure that he'll put together whatever you would like, basically, for Thanksgiving, whatever kind of pie you want. He can do. Mona's Danish Bakery, located northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery on my website, buckmastershow.com. There's also a link to all of our great sponsors there. We'll be right back with our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Welcome back. This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by the Fox Tucson Theater. This Friday, the crowned jewel of downtown Tucson welcomes the Simon and Garfunkel story. Fans will be amazed by this immense concert-style show. Simon and Garfunkel story, an opportunity to enter a pivotal time in rock folk history reimagined. Then on October the 15th, Sarah Giroux, Sarah Watkins, and Aoife O'Donovan, how's that for a great Irish name, present their I'm With Her concert. Collectively, these multi-Grammy Award winners have released 7 solo efforts. They co-founded some bands, including Nickel Creek and Crooked Still, and partnered with a host of esteemed artists. That is a must-see concert, I'm With Her, that performance on October the 15th. To check out the full schedule at the Fox and to purchase tickets, visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now the longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer. She's been writing about the arts since the early 1990s. She is the award-winning and very talented. She has 2 very popular books to her credit. Here's Margaret Regan on the live line. How are you, Margaret?
I'm great, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Is Tucson Modernism Week still going on?
Yes, it is. We're right in the middle of it. It started last Friday night and is continuing through Sunday. And I don't know if you've ever joined in on it, but boy, is it a lot of fun. There are lectures, there are parties, there are art exhibitions. This year we have some fabric art exhibitions. We have Andy Burgess with his modernist paintings of modernist buildings. This upcoming weekend we have the vintage trailer show, which people really love, because people love those cute little 1950s trailers. But the thing that excites me the most is the architecture tour, the home tour, on Sunday. So luckily I was out of town, so I'm really happy to be back to see these wonderful buildings. And when I was speaking with Damien Klinko, who's sort of the mastermind behind Modernism Week, he told me a really interesting thing that I didn't know about. You know, we have these 3 sort of godfathers of modernism in Tucson: Art Brown,